I'm Katie Clark. This is The World. The United States recently joined other leading industrial nations to pledge $20 billion towards improving farming in Africa. There's wide recognition that the continent needs to grow more of its own food. But as The World's Jerry Haddon reports from Morocco, some Africans are wary of this latest round of help from the West.
Moroccans spend nearly half their earnings on food, so even small price hikes hurt. At this outdoor food market in Rabat, vendors weigh olives on metal scales before bagging them for customers. One shopper is Sem. She says each month her money buys less. She says food prices are going up. Take olives, for example. They used to cost the equivalent of about 35 cents per pound. Now they're more than 50 cents. And the other products are getting more expensive, too. Sem says she doesn't know why or how food has gotten so expensive, but she wants her government to protect her. That's my hope, she says, but the government doesn't think about us, poor people. Our leaders always say that their hands are tied, that they can't control market prices. But they can cushion them. Morocco's government has absorbed much of the increases in food prices over the last year. By doing so, it avoided the social unrest seen in other parts of the developing world. But that's hardly a permanent solution, hence the concept of food security. Everyone's talking about it. The question is how to achieve it. There's widespread agreement that modernizing farming practices is one key. About half an hour outside Rabat, a group of farmhands sit in a huge barn piled with potatoes. They're sorting the good ones from the rotten ones. Farmer Mohamed Ilahil says most are spoiled. He says, I don't have enough cold storage space for this year's crop, and I can't sell them because prices right now are too low. Part of the proposed G8 development money could go towards improving storage capacity on farms like Ilahil's, so crops last longer. But there's an even bigger challenge to tackle, water, or the lack of it. Ilahil's potatoes are so cheap this year because it rained a lot, producing a huge crop. But the weather across Africa is unpredictable, points out Robert Jackson, making the widespread practice of depending on the rain a dangerous and outdated gamble. Jackson is the chargé d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Rabat.
Morocco has suffered from droughts over the last 30 years, and there was a terrible drought in 2006-2007 that saw households eating less than the nutritional requirements.
Jackson says some of the water problems are man-made. For example, deforestation here has led to the erosion of topsoil, which in turn is silting up reservoirs.
The equivalent of two major dams have been lost in recent years because of siltation. If you put that in very concrete terms, 1.4 billion cubic meters of water storage is no longer available.
To counter this, the United States supports a reforestation program, mainly with native olive trees. The U.S. and the Moroccan government are also promoting water efficiency. Morocco now subsidizes small farms that abandon traditional irrigation by flooding fields. International aid could help even more. On another tiny Moroccan farm, owner Abdelkader Zaidi snaps a few green beans to see if they're ready for picking. Zaidi waters his 4 acres with a government-subsidized drip system. A hose runs along the stalks of his plants. Pin-sized holes deliver a targeted and controlled measure of water. Zaidi says it's a small first step, but he needs much more help to remain competitive. He says he wants plastic sunscreens to cover his crops because they wouldn't need as much water if they were out of direct sunlight. But he says he can't afford the sheeting without government help. Money is the principal challenge to modernizing here, but there's a much thornier issue beyond costs, a heated debate as to what Africa should grow and what it shouldn't. The same countries promising new rounds of African aid are also pushing to liberalize trade, that is, to eliminate protective tariffs and subsidies on farm goods. Robert Jackson says the free market lets developing countries specialize in what they're good at growing and buy foods produced more cheaply elsewhere. One example, he says, is bread.
Moroccans love bread. You need wheat for bread. And this country is not appropriate for wheat growing. Unless you're going to change people's dietary habits significantly, you need a system in which you can import and export so that you can make certain that there are sources when climatic conditions impose droughts on various regions and you can draw from the supplies that are available elsewhere.
Access to world markets, Jackson says, guarantees a diversity of food sources. But while for Jackson and free marketeers this translates into food security, many believe it will lead to the opposite. Najib Akesbi is a leading Moroccan economist who defines food security this way.
Ça veut dire produire sur son territoire ce qu'on consomme, la totalité de ses besoins.
He says to be able to produce in your own country all the food to cover your own people's needs. Akesbi says the notion that countries should focus only on niche crops, earn cash, then shop for everything else overseas enslaves them to world prices. When prices spiked last year, there was social unrest from Indonesia to Haiti. He says in Morocco, you don't have to look any farther than cooking oil, for an example. A generation ago, he says, Moroccans used their own home-produced olive oil. Then cheaper imported corn oil was introduced in stores. Moroccans stopped making olive oil. Today, it's very expensive and mainly for export. Imported corn oil now accounts for 95% of Morocco's consumption.
Évidemment, c'est une caricature, mais qui est expressive. On a pratiquement,
he says, I'm exaggerating to make the point, but Moroccans now produce what they don't consume and consume what they don't produce. So we're now in a position of total dependence on the international market. That same world market, Akesbi says, has created a land rush in Africa. The U.S., China, India, and others are buying up African land and starting mega farms. Akesbi says they're not for feeding Africans. But at least one industrial agriculture firm from India says that's not so. Ram Karaturi runs a 100,000-acre farm in Ethiopia, growing corn and other staples.
Last year, this time, corn was selling here for $360, and now it's selling for $250, and that's because of increased production, not just from my company, but a whole lot of other producers.
One reason Karaturi isn't selling his crops back in India is because India has a food surplus. But if that changed, say those wary of food colonialism, his African-grown corn would disappear from African markets overnight. For The World, I'm Jerry Haddon, Rabat, Morocco.